Good morning, beloved ones.
Morning. Turn to someone and tell them Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. We opened with Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to sing, and grace my fears relieved. Doesn't that sound like your mother when you were little, right? Grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already passed, 'twas grace that brought me safe thus far to freedom that will last. I love this song because even though it's a song that's written by, a slave owner who was bringing slaves to the country, but he had an epiphany about love, infinite love, divine love, and all of a sudden that love sort of washed over him like with grace in his heart and mind and just transformed him. It's amazing grace. And I think about, the song that we're going to hear at the end of the service. So you don't want to run out because it's an amazing song. Christopher's going to be singing it. Is that right, Christopher? Yes. And it's called Amazing. It's a powerful song. It's a song I believe was written by a parent to a child about all the amazing things that they were holding and seeing and hoping for. This child. There's something about grace. There's something about love, that just opens the heart and mind to that which is greater, actually to God, because it all comes from God. And I'm thinking, only a parent really could envision and hope for things amazing out of their children. Nobody else may see, but your parents hopefully going to see something in you that's amazing and wonderful. That's what a mother's love does. A mother can see things that no one else can see, even if she has eyes in the back of her head. Did any of you have mothers who had eyes in the back of the head? Yes. They could see things. My brother and I were like, wow. But see, a mother and a mother's love can see things that not only can maybe someone else not be able to see, but things that you might not be able to even see about your own self. They can see your potential. They can see great things for you. A mother can hold the highest and the best for you, even when you can't hold that for yourself. And you've been there too, right? Where you needed someone to offer a word of encouragement and support for you. You see, they can encourage and support you even when you cannot do that for yourself, because they're amazing. The things that a mother does and will do truly is amazing. And it truly is an energy and a spirit that is divinely placed within the soul of that mother by God for a high purpose. To help raise another human being from infancy into hopefully adulthood, and to do so, you see, because that to be able to care for another's physical well-being, making sure that they are fed and clothed, and some mothers might have, if they had to work 2, 3, 4 jobs. To make sure there was something, to be able to take care of someone's physical needs, your mental and emotional needs, is a powerful thing. See? And it has to be only something that's God instilled, because otherwise none of us would have survived. Right? If you think about it. If that energy, if that instinct, if that intuition did not kick in that says, I must support this living thing, this being, this beautiful creation of God, we wouldn't be here. So we don't want to take any of it for granted, because mothers do all of that and then some more, because they do laundry and cooking and cleaning and all of that. One of the things that I think is the greatest gift, however, that mothers offer or that are equipped to offer us is this concept of unconditional love. Unconditional love, or at least we like to feel that we have received some unconditional love from our parents. Right? That's what we want. Everybody wants the love and approval of your parents. And we want to feel that we are loved unconditionally. Now, this whole concept of unconditional love is very intriguing, and it may even be questionable for some, because some people think that it's impossible for a human being to be able to engage in unconditional love. That human love is, in fact, by its very nature, it has conditions and expectations and desires for something in return. Maybe even the love, the quote-unquote unconditional love from your parents, might even seem sometimes that it may carry a little conditioning with it, right? I want you to do this and live well and be well and go to school and get a good job and all of these things. It's out of love. It's out of a hope for the better things for us. But if we were to look at it, it may contain some conditions. Even if they only want you to be happy. I only want the best for you. I only want you to be happy. But you see, it is that wanting that is actually an expectation. And even if it's a wanting for you to be happy, it is an expectation, and therefore it is conditional. And yet, don't we all want to be loved unconditionally? Everybody, is there anybody here who does not want to be loved unconditionally? I want you to love me just as I am. We all want that unconditionally. Now, whether it is possible to be able to reach unconditional love or not, we would at least want to get as close as possible to receiving unconditional love, right? Even if we know that it might not be something that someone is able to really offer us, we want to be able to at least get as close as possible. And if we're spiritually minded, we want to be able to at least think that we can offer it as well, to give it as well. Wiki How, which is a Wikipedia site, says this. Says people have a hard enough time figuring out what love is. And then there's unconditional love, which some argue is the only kind of real love. Now, I'm not sure how that works, but this concept of unconditional love as the only kind of real love. And so they came up with these steps on how to love unconditionally. And the first one that they said is to think of this, to think of love as an action and not a feeling. Because sometimes we want, right, we think of love as an emotion or as a feeling. We have our love and action teams, our love in what? Action teams. And so Wikipedia says this steps that if you can begin to think of love as an action and not a feeling, they say that a feeling is something that we get from someone. And when we stop getting it, we often change our behavior somehow. Now, haven't you felt all elated when you were, you know, first in love? You were getting something, and when something changed and you didn't feel you were getting it the way you wanted it from that person, your behavior changed a little bit. They go on to say, and if we have to do something or be a certain way in order to receive love, that love is conditional. So instead, if you start thinking of love as the behavior itself, the reward becomes the feeling you get when you act a certain way, right? And not when someone else acts a certain way. Now, this is deep because, see, what this is saying is that unconditional love is not something that we get. It is something that we offer, something that we give. And the feeling that we want is not dependent upon what you do or don't do. It is all dependent upon what I'm doing and what I'm being, my actions and what I'm offering. This is really powerful stuff. Because, you know, when you can do that, when you can recognize that I'm going to stop trying, because how many of you are still trying to get love? Come on, be honest. You're all sitting here like you're not trying to do. You are all trying to get love. We just had a talk last week about being authentic, did we not? I'm trying to get love. I want to receive it. I'm going to be right? Don't act like you're not trying to receive love. That's what we're doing, right? So, but if we were to reverse this process, because the moment we constantly think I'm trying to get love, or you got the love I need, and maybe you'll give it to me, you know, it's all needy. We're missing the point. I'm out here looking for it, you have to give it to me. And if I don't have it from you, then I feel I don't have it, which has caused a lot of internal conflict within us. And a feeling of emptiness, and a feeling of separation, and a feeling of not being one with the one. I'm talking about the real one. The divine one. See, we're busy looking to be with the one. If you're really with the one, you won't have to worry about that one. That one will come. You know. So that one will come, but it's a process of understanding that if we give unconditional love, rather, regardless of the who and the what and the why and the where of the other, then you're on your way to really being masterful. You're on your way to being maybe even a spiritual master. You're on your way to being established in that Christ consciousness or that Christ love, that Christ heart, with those qualities of unconditional love. You know, not with what someone is doing and expecting to receive back from you, not whether they're good or they're bad. When you get this kind of consciousness, you'll be what I call being able to have that writing in the sand that Jesus did when the woman was accused of something, right? And he said, well, let all your people who accuse, those who didn't have any sin or nothing to forgive, let them cast the first stone. And he just bent down and started writing. And one by one, they all had to leave, right? He looks up and says, is there no one here? Oh, well, neither do I. See, it's the kind of, neither do I condemn you. So we're looking to get this wonderful sense of unconditional love, but understanding what it is, because it's not always easy for us to do, because we are, you know, while I always tell you you're spiritual beings, you know, living in a spiritual universe, having a spiritual experience, we also are in the world. We may not be of it, but we are in the world. And sometimes we have been, you know, let's be honest, we've been conditioned to offer conditional love. I love you if, I love you when, I love you why. I love you because of these conditions. So we really need some practice then in learning how to love simply for the sake of loving. Not because of this reason or that, but because of the sake of loving. So here's a question that they suggest that you begin to ask yourself as you begin to develop this power or ability to learn to love unconditionally. And the first question they say is that you should ask always is, what is the most loving thing I can do for this particular person at this particular moment? Not for her, but right now, what is the most loving thing that I can do for this particular person in this particular moment? Because remember, unconditional love is about you finding unconditional ways to offer love, right? It's not about you getting it. Right now, it's about you offering love. And so why not start then with the people that we come in contact with? If we're going to practice unconditional love, let's start with the people that we come in contact with the most. And at first I was saying, you know, come in contact, do practice with your family members and, you know, your friends and those people. But then I thought, well, Jesus said, wait a minute, it's easy to love those who love you, right? That's what Jesus said, it's easy. Anybody can. He said, even the sinners can do that. Everybody can love everybody who loves them. So I said, no. Then let's start with the people that we have the greatest challenge in loving. If we're going to be spiritual masters and we're going to learn how to do love unconditionally, let's start with those who we have the most conditions about and around. So we're going to start there with them. And when you start with them, you're going to ask yourself the question, well, what is the most loving thing I can do for this particular person in this particular moment? If you can begin to do that, not with those who love you, but with those who do not love you, your perceived, and I say perceived, enemies, you will find an amazing thing that happens. Because with that thought and with that action, if there's an action that follows that thought, right? With that thought and with that action, you will automatically begin to change the dynamics of your relationship. It's not a me and them or an other. All of a sudden, when you say to yourself, well, what's the most loving thing? And it might be something simple. Don't think you have to go. I'm not talking about going out and buying a gift. No. What is the most loving thing that I could do and offer this particular person at this particular moment? It might simply be a smile. It might be, well, you know what? Bless you. Whatever it is. But when you begin to have that thought and hopefully followed by some type of an action, all of a sudden the dynamics of the relationship is going to change. Because love is a transforming agent, right? Even Dr. Martin Luther King said it was the one thing that could change an enemy into a friend. It's powerful. So when you do that, all of a sudden, you begin to say, well, what can I do? The one loving thing that I can do. It'll begin to shift and change you. And when you begin to have that thought with all of your relationships, not just then, now, your enemies or perceived enemies, but in everything you do, any encounter, your people that you work with, your neighbors, your friends, what is this one thing that I can do? Anybody that you encounter, the grocery store clerk, everybody, what's the one thing that I could do? What's the most loving thing that I could offer this person, this particular person, in this particular moment? It might be a thank you. It might be something of grace, something that, you know, opens up the heart. And you do that with everyone, you will become radically different, radically transformed. It's a powerful thing. Now, along with this concept of offering love, not just receiving it, but offering love, unconditional love, there's a tandem quality that unconditional love could not exist without. And that is, of course, the quality of, what would you think it would be? Huh? Forgiveness. You can't have one without the other. If I'm going to engage in unconditional love, doggone it, I'm going to have to also practice some forgiveness. You cannot have one without the other. And, you know, you might say, well, how often or how much to forgive constantly? If you're going to love unconditionally, you're going to have to practice forgiving constantly. If I love unconditionally, I have to practice forgiving how? Constantly. That is beyond the 70 times 7. Because there's going to always be what? Something to forgive. The moment you come face to face with another living being, or maybe even a little creature, whatever, might even be a dog or a pet. Have you ever had to? I've had to forgive my little doggy. There's always something to forgive. So we're going to have to practice this along with that, because forgiveness is a must. Now, here I'm talking about unconditional love. So recognize that when we're speaking of unconditional love and we're speaking of forgiveness, sometimes it may have to be done at a distance. Okay? Sometimes if it involves a matter of our safety or our sense of really well-being, doesn't mean I have to try to change you, whatever. I must love you, but I will love you at a distance. And that's fine. Because the thing is, God is not, you know, asking anyone to become a martyr. or doormat just to prove that they are a loving person or that they have the ability to love unconditionally. We have wisdom. We love, we forgive, and we use wisdom in the process. I always feel like I need to say that whenever I'm talking about, you know, unconditional love and loving everybody, because people get confused with loving everybody and allowing everybody. Two different things. I will love you, but I may not allow you, right, to do certain things to my beinghood. So we have to learn, how do we practice then this unconditional love, loving while also being aware of how much I will allow. Because, see, sometimes saying no is the most loving thing that you can do. Sometimes saying no is the most highest activity or words that you can share with another soul at any given point in time, because it might be what is highest and best for them at that time and for you at that time. No is not a bad word. I have to learn that too, because sometimes, again, what happens, let's think about this. What if, imagine if a parent said yes to every single thing their child wanted just because they loved them unconditionally. What would happen? It would not be a pretty thing. It would not be good for that child, because it would actually stunt their growth and their unfoldment. And it would also not be good for you. Because what would happen, it does, just like it doesn't work well for a parent to say yes to everything, sometimes you have to say no for their growth and development, right? So it's a positive thing. But also it works in our relationships, in our interactions with others. Sometimes no is the highest form of love. Your child comes to you, your child is addicted to drugs, and comes to you because they want more money to buy more drugs. Your no is powerful. Your no speaks of your love for that child, right? Doesn't mean I say yes to everything, but I understand that there is a balance between how my love is demonstrated. Because if we start to say yes to everything that everyone asks of us because we want to demonstrate that we are loving people or we're loving them unconditionally, what we become are people pleasers. Have you ever tried to please anybody all the time? Right. It's not, and were you successful? Was anybody here successful at pleasing another individual 100% of the time, all the time? You see. So sometimes we get confused with unconditional love, and we equate that with, I must please that person, or I must do that. And sometimes, you know, as ministers, it's hard for me sometimes, because I think, well, I don't want them to think I'm not loving. So I might give in, or I might say yes when it's not the right thing to do. The Bible says, you know, you got to be clear. Don't be trying to please men. It's not men we need to please. It's God, right? It's the divine. So we don't want to give in, and all the time, it doesn't mean, unconditional love does not mean that I'm going to allow everything, I let everything, I'm open to everything. It simply means that there's an expression of love at all times. That love may be no, that love might mean over this way, it might mean in various ways, but it doesn't mean that I am a yes person all the time. The sacred no is possible. So remember, the most loving thing that is needed for a particular situation at a particular time, and no might be just the right thing at the right time. So we have an understanding now of this concept of love, but we might say, well, here's the thing. While unconditional love, we know now, is something that we offer, it is something that we give to others. Not that we should expect from others, it's something that, because if you start expecting it from others, you're already going to be disappointed. All right? So we don't expect it from others, we what? Offer it to others. All right? But if that's the case, we also know that we might want to figure out, well, how do we receive it? Because let's be honest, we want to receive unconditional love. If I'm constantly giving it and I'm not supposed to expect to get it from you, well, how am I going to get it? Because I do want it. Well, the obvious for me, and hopefully for you, is that the only place, the safe place to expect and receive unconditional love is from God. That's the only place we're going to get it is from God. God is love, and absolute love, unconditional, not loving sometimes, not loving, you know, when I'm right or when I do right. God is love itself. Unconditional love all of the time, which of course means that, you know, we will receive that love because we are a creation of that love, right? We are the divine children, the divine offspring of love itself. And make no mistake about it, God's love is indeed without conditions, because conditions equate to limits. And God is what? Limitless. Limitless. You know, conditions equate to limitations. God has no limitations. And as divine love, God is truly without conditions. So what I understand is that part of the reason we may not be open to divine love or thinking that maybe even God can't love me unconditionally. How many of you have had that thought? That somehow God is not able to love me unconditionally. Just a few of you were honest, and I thank you for that. Because sometimes we feel that I'm not, what? Worthy. Or I'm not quite right even for God to love me unconditionally. And I think that comes from two reasons why we might not be able to really receive the unconditional love of God, or to understand that God could actually love us just as we are. And the first reason comes because we have anthropomorphized God. You know what that means? That means we have made God in our image and after our likeness. We've given God human qualities of being. That's what it means to anthropomorph, guys. We made God into a human being, a superhuman being, but a human being with human qualities. And we all know that human beings have some stuff with them, do they not? They judge. There's non-acceptance. There's all these things. And so if we think of God in that man, we think, well, God might be judging me. Can't help but judge me. Or God is, you know, putting me in a box or whatever. And so it's hard for us to recognize that God could love us unconditionally, because we have an errant view of God. God is not a person. God is not a being. God is being itself. All being. Right? All love. So we have to look at our God concept when we talk about unconditional love. And the second reason I think it might be difficult for us to think that God could even love us unconditionally is because of our views on Mosaic law. Mosaic law, and particularly the Ten Commandments, because most of our views about life, right and wrong, good and bad, comes from Old Testament Mosaic law concept. Even our criminal justice system, right? Because, the Ten Commandments, we got very clearly, we should not do what? You don't do this, the thou shall not. Thou shall not do this, thou shall not do that, thou shall not do this. So the concept of God as an Old Testament God, has rules, regulations, and laws. Laws which can be punishable. Punishable by death, or maybe punishable by banishment, punishable by abandonment, punishable by shame or guilt or blame or any of these things. Right? And so many of us, if we're honest, still carry this Old Testament concept of God. We're looking around to see, did God see that? We're told that there's a... So we have that. And there's a... Because the scriptures say to us, outside of the Old Testament, that God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So this is a new inclination, that it's not about all the outer things that we may do that will demonstrate our obedience to God. See, we're still worried about being kicked out of the Garden of Eden because we didn't follow some rules or regulations. That's Old Testament consciousness, right? But it's not really about these rules and these regulations and these outer things. It's outer behavior that is important for us, because what is important is your inner understanding, your soul, your character, your consciousness. Because I know people that do all the right things, maybe it appears on the outer, that can be wicked, 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 wicked on the inner. You understand? And people who we think are so wicked, wicked, wicked on the inner because of what they do on the outer may have pure hearts of gold. So we can't get into judging that because we don't understand. So what we're going to look at is how do we get to this new concept of God? It's about our heart, not how many rules you were able to maintain. Because even in the Old Testament, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day had all of these rules and regulations that they couldn't even keep. Right? They tried to enforce them on others, but they themselves could not even keep it. Letter of the law, which is one of Jesus's big things about you people can't even keep the things that you're trying to make other people keep. So what we have to look at is an evolution of a God concept, and one that is coming from the New Testament. Because the New Testament opens up by saying that grace and truth came through Jesus the Christ. So we are no longer under the letter of the law, but we are under what? The Spirit of the law. And with the Spirit of the law, with the Spirit of God, comes this beautiful gift of grace. There's not too much forgiveness going on in the Old Testament. Have you noticed that? A lot of smiting and smoting and, you know, not a lot of forgiveness. But thank God there was a different mindset that came with the New Testament. And it was this gift of grace, the unmerited favor of God and the blessings of God toward us just because. Not for any reason, not just because of this or just because of that, but just because God cannot help itself but love all that it is created. All of that comes to us. So it's not about what we do to receive unconditional love. It's not based on who we are, even as the beloved of God. It is simply accepting the grace of God that comes from the very nature of God. That's the nature of God. And so what we are about is to receive the grace. Grace abounds for all. God's love abounds for all. You know, sometimes a parent will say, if they have 10 children, they say, I love all of my children. I may love each one in a different fashion, but my love for them is the same. Right? Some may need a little encouragement. This child may need a little this because they all have different needs. But I love all. And sometimes, you know, within that family, you think, well, how can a mother or a father love us? But they love unconditionally, that grace abounds for all. So as we enter into this day that is designed for us to remember the love of our mothers, I hope that we can also commit to begin to try this thing, to try offering love, even if it's just for today, unconditionally. It could be someone that you're in your family, stranger, whatever, but try to practice this act of unconditional love. And I want you to also start with yourself. Because if you can't do self, it's going to be hard to do someone else. So when you leave, I want you to figure out what can I offer to myself that demonstrates unconditional love and the grace of God for me? What can I offer to myself? And once you can do that, then that awareness that you are the beloved of God and that you offer love to yourself, that awareness and that energy that you have for yourself will begin to overflow and lead you to begin to love others just as they are. For this higher love of God will become your only expression. And if you let this expression of God as love just keep pouring, guess what? You and your life will become amazing. Amazing, amazing, filled with grace. And so may I say, the grace of God be upon you all, and may your life truly be amazing. Happy Mother's Day to all. Blessings. 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 Blessings.